The Springboks will soon have a new tournament to play in, and hopefully add that cup to the trophy cabinet too. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I detail the latest plans for the Rugby Nations Championship. I will explain who the Springboks will face, how the format will work, and explore the pros and the cons to try to determine whether or not this thing is actually a good idea or not. Now, you may well know about the competition already, it's not a secret, but there are some exciting developments that I can share with you today. The tournament launches in 2026, next year, and will feature the Six Nations teams, rugby championship sides, and two others widely expected to be Japan and Fiji. The teams will play each other throughout the year with a grand final at the end of the year. So how will it actually play out? Well, it will only take place every 2 years, so the way the rugby calendar will work is as follows. Year 1, Nations Championship. Year 2, British and Irish Lions Tour. Year 3, Nations Championship. Year 4, Rugby World Cup. Now, the Six Nations will continue to be played as it currently is done, so it seems the Nations Championship will be played within that format, as will also be the case with the Rugby Championship. But there are two crucial details missing here, in my opinion. Firstly, in the Rugby Championship, each team plays each other twice. So which one of those two matches will be the one that counts towards the Nations Championship? And secondly, next year, the first year of this Nations Championship, there won't even be a Rugby Championship because South Africa are hosting the All Blacks for a tour. And that is going to be the case every 4 years going forward. So already this Nations Championship has challenges to overcome. Let's move on though. In July, each of the Six Nations teams will play 3 away tests against the Southern Hemisphere teams. So what that will look like is, let's say England will play Argentina in Buenos Aires, South Africa in Johannesburg, and Australia in Sydney, for example. And then what will happen, the reverse will take place in November. England will then host New Zealand, Japan, and Fiji. Now, obviously, Japan is not a Southern Hemisphere team, so they've devised, wait for it, a conference system. That's what they do in American sports. And Yuri Roux helped introduce that into Super Rugby about a decade ago or so. But okay, let's not kill this idea before it's even had a chance. There will be the European Conference and the Rest of the World Conference. So the European teams will play against 3 Rest of the World teams away from home, as mentioned, and then host the other 3 teams later in the year. Now, all of these matches thrown together will create a table for each conference, and the winner of each conference will play each other in a grand final. There will also be other playoff matches, so the teams that finished second in each conference will play each other as well. The same goes for the teams that finished third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Now, those playoff matches will all be taking place in one city at the end of the year. Twickenham has already been earmarked as the venue for next year's final, but I have to tell you how that came about. Now, as we know, rugby is not a rich sport in comparison to football, American football, basketball, baseball, ice hockey, etc. The average rugby player actually earns a fraction of what an NHL player in the USA earns. And we know how badly the clubs and franchises are doing all over the world in rugby. So, Qatar has come on board. The idea is that Qatar Airways would sponsor the tournament, and Doha, the capital city of Qatar, would host these playoff matches. Now, I, for one, got very excited because I live in Doha.
And here I am standing on my balcony, and I kid you not, approximately 20 minutes walk in that direction is a stadium that was used for the Football World Cup here in 2022. You could just imagine how excited I'd be if the Springboks were to play here.
But there are objections, most notably from Ireland and France. Their concerns were over attendances and human rights. Let me address both of those since I've been living here since 2016. So there are about 2.7 million people living in Qatar. By the way, that's actually how it's pronounced. It's not Qatar or Qatar, it's Qatar. The actual Arabic way is a little bit more like Qatar. But okay, I'm just got my own accent going here. But you get the point, and you can impress your friends as well next time Qatar Airways or the country is mentioned. You can tell them, well, I know how it's actually pronounced correctly. Anyway, of those 2.7 million people, only about 300,000 are Qataris. I kid you not. Nearly 90% of this country's population is made up of expats. There are thousands of British, Irish, French, South Africans, New Zealanders, and Australians living here. And I can tell you for a fact, all of us, myself included, would love to have an elite rugby match here. Secondly, on human rights, this was a common theme leading up to the 2022 FIFA World Cup that was held here. No country is perfect, but it is telling that all the journalists I met that came here to cover the tournament arrived here with one idea of the country and left with a very different idea. Also, I don't think Europeans have any leg to stand on in terms of lecturing the rest of the world on human rights. We all know what they did. And just a word on the weather, because I know some of you might have concerns about the desert heat. Well, yes, it is extremely hot here in summer. Durban has nothing on the Middle East. But November is late spring over here, and the weather is actually really, really nice. I should correct that, late autumn. For context, November in Doha feels a bit like early spring in Cape Town or Gauteng. So Qatar Airways has agreed a deal that could be worth up to £80 million to be the title sponsor. Funny how the Irish and French didn't have a problem with that, hey? I've also read that Qatar Airways is going to be the title sponsor for this year's British and Irish Lions tour to Australia. You can't make this stuff up, can you? Now let's discuss the pros and cons. I'll start with the negatives. It comes across as a bit of a cash grab. It also feels like a bit of an unnecessary addition to the fixture list. There are questions surrounding fixture congestion and player welfare, for example. And then there's also the important question of what exactly would the point of this tournament be? Further to that, there's also the very real danger that it could dilute the importance of the Rugby World Cup. But I think the pros actually outweigh the cons, and here's why. Last year, for example, South Africa and Ireland were arguing over who world number one ranking should belong to and who is really the best. Well, with a final at the end of the year, what better way to determine exactly that? Secondly, the teams basically play each other in this format every year anyway. So what harm is there in making it a bit more formal, adding a title sponsor, hopefully a killer TV deal, and a grand final at the end of the year? I think that's actually quite exciting. And speaking of the sponsor and TV deal, it will also add money to the coffers, which the sport really needs. It also means that every team will play every other team at least once each year. Although I am also perfectly aware that it hasn't quite been determined how the box will find space in the calendar to also play Fiji and Japan at some point next year. But overall, I think it's good. It adds an exciting layer to the game. And while it's not perfect, far from it, I'm looking at this as the beginning of something. It's possible that the format changes, or there will be something else that takes its place eventually. Something else that is good is that in 2034, I beg your pardon, they will introduce promotion and relegation. So that might be a way for a team like Georgia to get regular tests against the bigger boys. Also, there's a second division. That's where Georgia would play in and hopefully earn that promotion. Of course, it could be Portugal, could be Spain, could be Samoa, etc., etc. And for the teams in that second division, it also guarantees them fixtures every year. And of course, it gives South Africa the opportunity to add another trophy to our cabinet. We already have the Rugby World Cup, Rugby Championship, Freedom Cup, Mandela Plate, Qatar Airways Cup. So why not add the Qatar Airways Nations Championship too? Let me know what you think about all of this. Are you in support? Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think that there's too much negativity and uncertainty about it? Maybe you don't like the idea that Doha will be hosting the playoff matches in the tournament after Twickenham does. Maybe you can't wait to come to the Middle East and see what it's like here. Let me know in the comment section down below. I'd love to know what you think. Now, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, I would like to encourage you to sign up as a patron. You can head on over to my Patreon page. You'll see the link is in the description area below. And the reason I want you to come on board is because I want to do this full time. And I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you with content from Down Under on a daily basis. It currently starts from as little as $5 per month. That is not East Caribbean dollars, but US. I think that's about 85, 90 Rand these days. I know the Rand is not what it once was, but I would very, very much appreciate your support. And I look forward to speaking to you next time.